Welcome to the Savvy Scribe podcast. I am so glad you're here. Before we start the show, if you're interested, we have a free Facebook group called Savvy Nurse Writer Community. I appreciate you following and listening to me today, and I would love if you would subscribe via iTunes. And if you love our show, can I ask you for a review? Select ratings and reviews and write a review. It's that simple. I would love to read your review, and it helps other nurses like you find our podcast. Thanks so much. Hey, everyone, and welcome to the show. I want to let you know in August, which we're in now, this is going to be a month of email marketing. And I have the guys, actually, emailmarketingheroes.com is where you can find them. But Robin Kennedy, what Robin Kennedy did for our membership group is we did an entire 90-minute workshop about email marketing. So what I did for you guys on the podcast listening here is I obviously made them a lot shorter, but I'm giving you all the things that we were learning and that really helped us with email marketing. So, really quick, I will have this introduction on each episode, but this is what the series covers. It's adding email marketing as a service in your freelance writing business. And what we're covering is what email marketing is, what type of clients it would benefit, understanding the funnel, what is the going rate in pricing your services, how to get started with email marketing for clients and clients prospecting and pitching this new service. A lot of information in the next episodes. I hope you all enjoy it. There are a total of three episodes. So here we go.
Welcome to the Savvy Scribe podcast,
a podcast for healthcare professionals who are interested in starting their own health writing businesses.
I'm Janine, a registered nurse and your host. I'm a labor and delivery nurse, mom to these two incredible boys, wife to my best friend, and owner of two crazy Great Danes. I help nurses discover freelance writing as an extra income opportunity with help from my guests. Join us over on Facebook in the group Savvy Nurse Writer Community or SavvyNurseWriter.com to join our course and membership to create your own profitable writing business.
Enjoy the show.
Hey, yeah, so super excited to be here. Dead excited to dive in. Our background is a little bit strange compared to what you might be expecting. So I'm Rob, by the way, Rob with the red hair, Arthur Rob, Arthur Red. That's all the clues you get. Kennedy is the...
good look and really funny one.
Kennedy's the other one. Let's say Kennedy's the other one. Our background is weird and strange. I'm a hypnotist, like a stage hypnotist. So for the last like 18 years, I've been getting up on stage, hypnotizing people, making them do crazy things for the fun of it, and then returning them back to the audience. Kennedy is a mind reader. Folks in the States, you would know that as a mentalist, basically uses skills of psychology, body language, reading people, understanding people's statistics and human behavior to make it look like, to mimic the effects of being able to pluck a thought from somebody's mind and read what they're thinking. And again, been doing that for like nearly 20 years. And that was our like business straight out of school for me and university for Kennedy was just like straight into setting up this accidental business that we didn't want to have, you know, just doing a thing that we like doing each independently. It wasn't a business together or anything. And just as mates, we used to swap notes back and forth. I'm doing this, I'm working on this. And we were working for like different types of clients. That was quite interesting. And quite quickly on, we both realized we didn't want to spend loads of time like chatting to people. And so a really good, efficient way to sell our services and get gigs and then get repeat gigs and get referred to other people's gigs was by email marketing, being able to build a list of clients and send them emails and keep in touch that way at scale. And that just worked so well for us. We became really busy really quickly. Lots of other entertainers noticed that we were two things. We were both expensive and busy. And those are two things that entertainers think you're not allowed to be. They think you either have to be really busy and cheap or really expensive and have no work on. And we were really expensive and busy. And so in the end, we ended up coaching other entertainers how to do what we were doing again separately. I was working exclusively with hypnotists. Kennedy was working with all kinds of entertainers. And then about 5 years ago, we got asked if we would go and speak at a marketing event in the UK for just general business owners about email marketing. And we were like, okay, I mean, we can do, but I don't think we really knew how revolutionary what we were doing was in comparison to what most email marketing was. So we went out and taught it and it went really well. And that's kind of just led to thousands of businesses now from everything you can imagine through freelance writers, through to people who make and sell stuff on the internet, through to people who sell memberships and courses and stuff and service providers and agencies. All hiring us or coming and hanging out in our world to learn this stuff. So we basically apply the psychology of a hypnotist and a mind reader to email marketing so that whether you want to use email as a new service that you can offer clients, or whether you just want to use email to get more of the clients for the services you currently offer, we'd love to talk about and unpack all of the stuff that's associated with that.
Wow, that is a lot. That is awesome. How did you two meet?
Oh, we met in the coolest place in the world. We met at a convention for magicians, hypnotists, and mind readers in the UK, one of the largest magic and mystery kind of entertainer convention in the world, happens in the UK, funnily enough. And we met there about, I don't know, 20 years ago or something.
Wow. That's really cool. And I actually think it's really cool, like, you're both of your minds working together for email marketing. It almost makes sense to me, right? You have to know kind of what the consumer is thinking, and you have to know the client, right, to be able to put that into the email marketing, you know, setup there. So before I kind of go off tangent a little bit about email marketing, let's talk about first, and Kennedy, you could lead this part. What is email marketing?
Sure. I mean, what email allows people to do, well, here's the interesting thing. According to research from much, much, much cleverer people than us, email is the single most effective, efficient, and highest return activity that any business can do to get sales, to bring in clients, to win work. Think about it. When you buy something from anywhere, you sign up with your email address, and before you know it, you're receiving emails. Most of them are terrible, but that's a good thing. I'll tell you why that's a good thing in a second. Most of them are terrible, but you buy stuff. You hear about those theater tickets. You hear about that special offer on those products that you want to buy, that program you want to enroll in, whatever it's going to be. You hear about that by email, and that's what causes us to buy. Because so that's what email marketing is. Email marketing is not, and here's a really important thing that most people have forgotten, and this is where we start to talk about why 99% of email marketing is terrible, and that is because most people don't do email marketing. Most people do email selling, and that's different. They just show up and tell you what they can buy. And if that's what the TV was full of, if that's what the cinema or the movie theater was full of, you wouldn't go. You wouldn't pay attention to it. If that's what Instagram was just full of, you wouldn't visit it. And if we start thinking about email as another channel, as another content channel, that's literally on people's phones, snuggled. It's another app. Just snuggled between TikTok and Tinder, then we can start thinking of it as a content channel. So email marketing really is about nurturing a relationship and building up step by step a trust and a trust of you, a trust of your solution, an understanding of your solution, and then building a desire for whatever it is that somebody happens to be selling. So we'll get into the specifics of how you can apply this if you're writing in the medical profession, for whether you're writing for other doctors or you're writing for some health-related thing. We'll talk about specifics of that. But that's literally what we're not talking about here is scrolling through LinkedIn or through the internet and grabbing people's email addresses, sticking them in somewhere, and email and banging them over the head until they buy, die, or unsubscribe from you. That's not what we're talking about doing. We're talking about having a way of getting people onto your email list who've chosen, hey, I really have got this problem and I believe you've got the solution to it. I would like you to educate me, to help me, to entertain me, to inspire me almost, to take action and fix that problem for me. So you've got their permission. They've decided to come and join your email list. And this is a really important one of the many mindset shifts we're hopefully going to share and impart on you today. And that is, a lot of people, when they get subscribers onto their email list, into their active campaign or their keep or their whatever it is they're using, ConvertKit, whatever, there's this belief that when you email somebody, you're showing up to their house, knocking on the door, walking in, sitting down on the sofa, and you're calling the shots. And if you have that belief, that's when we start holding back. That's when we start to not share, just to and we don't show up as often. We feel like we can't share. But actually, they're the one who joined your email list. It's your email list. They're actually in your house. If someone comes out to your house, someone comes out to my house and says, I don't like your sofa, I don't like your cats, what I'm going to do, I'm going to say, fine, leave. That's okay, because they've come around to my house. So with my email list, I can do whatever I want. Whether you like it or not, I can do whatever I like. And you can with yours, and your clients could do that for their email list. They get to choose the rules because it's people coming around to your house. So email marketing is people choosing to join your email list. This is a really important thing. We don't want to be tricking people onto your email list. Hey, surprise, you're now getting emailed. No, because that sucks too. So people choose to get in, and you make it easy to get out. You don't lock the door behind you. This is not Saw. They're not chained to the radiator with a rusty old saw next to them and saying, if you want out, you can get out, but it's going to hurt. It's not that. It's not that movie from the early 2000s. It's the door's open. If you don't like it at any point, you can get off the train. It's totally cool. That's what email marketing is.
I love that comparison that it's a house, because it makes it less, less salesy in a sense. Like, okay, yeah, they are coming to my house. This is what I would do if you came to my house and you don't like the house. It's okay. Personally, you come to my house, I'm not going to give you all the things, the food, the drinks. I'll be like, hey, Kenny, there's a fridge over there. If you want a drink, feel free to get whatever you want. That's how my house is. But if you need someone to come to you with a drink, then probably my house isn't the place to be. But there's also a house for you somewhere else too.
Oh, you know,
there's other lists for you, and there's other people that want to come to your list. And so I think as email marketers, you guys really need to understand the client and the target audience really, really well. Am I right?
Yeah, just one interesting thing on that idea of people can leave. Basically, obviously, it means they can unsubscribe from your list and whatever. We actually had somebody, and it might be a case of they go and join somebody else's list, but it could also just be to do with a timing thing. We had somebody just in the last few days joined our membership, the League, which is full of email stuff, and she got in touch with our customer support just afterwards, just with a friendly message. I'm dead excited to be here. And basically her message said something along the lines of the fact that, here it is. I followed you for a good while now, and I just joined the League. I'm one of those people you had to chip away at. I've subscribed and unsubscribed from emails several times, but I'm now ready and fully on board. I just wanted to say, I'm super grateful you're around and that you made this work. You're a breath of fresh air, and I love your approach to email marketing. Now, basically what that, she's literally subscribed, unsubscribed, subscribed again, unsubscribed, subscribed again, unsubscribed, as she's been dipping the toe in and out of the water of the thing that we sell and teach. And that's going to happen all over the place. But most of the time, people would see every time she unsubscribes, not realizing it's the same person coming back and leaving and stuff, would realize, oh, somebody's unsubscribed, and kind of feel glum about that. But actually, that's just somebody popping out, going home for a little while. They're going to go somewhere else and come back. And at some point, they'll come back. And if it's ever a fit for them to buy the thing, they'll buy the thing. But it is going to, there's that old thing in relationships, isn't it? But if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. That's kind of how this is. Some people are just, sometimes it's meant to be. They're just going to take a while to get there. And that's okay too. So I think that's an interesting thing. Anyway, back to your question. And your question was about understanding the mind of the client. So I think for us to understand the mind, this is a subscriber, you mean, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So to get into the brain of the subscriber, we have a couple of interesting takes on this. One, the first thing is we don't do any of the long in-depth research that people talk about. So truly understanding, getting into the mind of the customer, all of that. We don't spend a lot of time doing that. Instead, we take the approach of we're going to put the stuff that we, and it comes back to the our house thing. We're going to take all the stuff that we want to say. We're going to say it the way that we want to say it. We're going to say it with our frameworks, our analogies, our point of view. We're going to do it the way we want to do it. In our business, we email our list every day, 365 days of the year. That's kind of part of what they have to be okay and accepting of if they want to be in our world. We're going to do this, and we're going to continue to broadcast that to the people who want to receive it and want to get that stuff. And then what we find is that rather than trying to understand a customer and really heavily go after them and sculpt our marketing around that person, What we found is more beneficial and actually just more enjoyable for us is to show up and be fully us as a brand every day and let that attract the people it attracts and repel the people it repels. What's interesting about that is you actually end up with a broader scope of subscriber, which is interesting. Because if you say, well, you know, this is the exact person that I want to attract, this customer avatar, and I'm going to sculpt my marketing around them so that it's like a mold and they're the only subscriber that fits my mold, it's quite a boring, dull place to be, and it does limit your market. Whereas if you just say, well, look, this is who we are, this is who I am, I'm going to show up every day as a business owner or as the business owner that you're writing on behalf of, I'm going to show up every day as this person, and it's going to attract whoever it attracts. Typically speaking, that attracts a much wider scope of person. So if you look in our business, like our audience, there's people that we're quite lucky that we get to like meet some of our subscribers at live events and that kind of thing. And we've got people who are young people in their early to mid 20s who are just starting out with a side hustle alongside their business. At the same time as we've got people who are in their 60s and 70s who've retired from corporate life and have now started this business to as much out of pleasure as out of need in the money. But they want it to succeed as well. And if we said our customer avatar is Jessica, she's 36, she is a housewife from Michigan, and this is what she looks like, all of our marketing is going to repel everybody.
She sounds lovely, by the way.
Yeah, does sound lovely. But everyone else is like totally, totally cast aside by that marketing. So that's one thing. And again, just by being, it sounds dead simple, and that's because it is, by showing, I think a lot of the time, oh, this is controversial. A lot of the time, people who teach the build a really in-depth customer avatar thing are teaching it because it sounds good. It's been regurgitated for such a long time from a world where the stuff that's possible now wasn't possible then. And it's designed to sound like they've got a really clever framework in place. Rather than just say, just show up, be you, and you'll attract the audience you'll attract. If you look at the world of influencers we've got now, people are building audiences of millions of people just by like posting videos of what they bought from the local clothes store. And like, that's just attracting a tribe of people because we care about the relationships and stuff. So just show up, be you, do the thing, like do the work, but you don't have to like nail it down and say, I understand everything about exactly, specifically, precisely who my customer is.
That's awesome. And you know, I actually heard or read a statistic recently that said that most people on your email list will have to be on your email list up to 2 years before they'd even buy. So that doesn't surprise me that your subscriber like was off and on, off and on. I think it was about a year and a half to 2 years till they actually buy. And I was like, wow. And myself, I've seen it. Like I've had customers or clients come to me and they're like, hey, I've been following you for 6 months or a year or a very long time, and I've never even seen their name until then. And I'm like, oh wow, thanks for following me, like how nice is that? But then all of a sudden something clicks and they're like, yeah, you know what, I do trust like this person, and I want to be part of their so-called tribe. So I think that's a good point that you made, that people are allowed to leave and come back and leave and come back. It doesn't mean shouldn't reflect on you as a marketer yourself or your brand, but more so on like, they're just not ready yet. And that's okay.
That's exactly it. You know, we're all on this sort of choose your own adventure story of marketing. If you think about those books where it was like, oh, if you think little Johnny turned left at the crossroads, turn to page 42. If you think you turn right, turn to page 65. And the adventure changes. Rather than thinking about how do I create a singular customer journey, well, actually, that doesn't really work because of the way that behaviors have changed. Think about it. We no longer, the kids these days, they don't know how they've got it. They don't run home from school to catch Sesame Street because it's on at X time. No, they saunter home and they go to the What's It shop and they hang out for a bit. When they come home and they want to watch whatever's trendy right now, and they want to watch that, they fire up Netflix or whatever, and they're watching it right when they want to watch it. So how do we adapt our marketing to be like that so that the people can get to the information, get to the solution that they want on their terms, which is why most of everything is rubbish, right? Most people can't sing as good as Adele. Most people can't act as good as that guy what acts well. Most people can't like do the thing at the peak, because 99% of everything is terrible. This does not mean just being cynical about email marketing. Most of the emails you receive are terrible. But the reason for that, first of all, is most people look at what other people are doing and go, oh, well, that's what email marketing is. I'll do that. No, not necessarily. Secondly, the good news about 99% of everything being rubbish is your emails, even when you start off, even when you get your first email writing client, don't have to be amazing. They've just got to be 1% less bad as the rest of the stuff. Right? That's all you have to be is one. It's just a little bit less bad, a little bit less rubbish. So that's a really good thing. So we can get into some like techniques around how we actually do this. But I mean, yeah, I mean, we can get into those if you want.
We'll be right back.
You guys, I wrote a book and it's launched and I want you to check it out. Go over to Amazon, look for Savvy Nurse Writer. It'll come up right away, but it's called Savvy Nurse Writer, A Nurse's Blueprint for Starting a Profitable Freelance Health Writing Business. We have lots of reviews, all 5 stars, top new release in the first week it was launched, and I want to share it with the world. So head on over to Amazon.com, search Savvy Nurse Writer, and get your copy today. Well, let's talk a little bit first about, well, we talked about like how you guys have multiple different industries of clients that like across every industry, obviously e-commerce industry is huge on email marketing. Those you guys, e-commerce is obviously like products like Birkenstock shoes. If you want some Birkenstock shoes and you sign up for their email list, you're going to get an email every day with different shoes they have on sale. Like we're going to see that, but it is across every industry. I think that it's useful even from B2B to B2C, it doesn't matter. A customer is a customer and you need to build the relationship, and email is a great way to do it. And, you know, we talk about email marketing, but if you think about just marketing in general, the flyers you get to your house, whatever that might look like, that's, you know, direct mail marketing. A lot of the stuff we throw out too, you know, 90% of it is garbage. So it's the same thing. So I think we could talk about even more talking about like the hows, but maybe just diving in right now to like what a sales funnel kind of looks like through the email marketing chain. So say I'm coming to your website and I want on your email list because you might be giving something away or whatever gets me there. And then what?
I just want to touch on that client thing for a second about like who these people are, just because in our view, right? And this is, and this will pick up on the e-com thing a little bit as well. And then we'll talk about the funnel. So remember, because I've got a terrible memory, somebody remember funnel and like, Kennedy, right?
Kennedy's right. Kennedy,
I'll let Kennedy take the funnel bit in a minute, but maybe talk about the engine or something. But in terms of like the clients and that kind of thing, one of the things that we really look for is email marketing can help any business as long as that business has some sort of, and this really comes down to how that business owner thinks about their business and the goals of their business and stuff. Ultimately, their business needs to be trying to create some sort of wave, some sort of movement, some sort of like mission forward. So our mission genuinely is to change the way that email marketing is done across the world, across industries, so that everybody receives better emails. So we all enjoy receiving emails. We can all send better emails and everyone wins. Then people are getting better emails, they're sending better emails, the businesses make more money from emails, the subscribers are less offended and annoyed by the emails, and everyone's a winner. But like, if you look at one of our clients, Dan, who makes and sells healthy cakes on the internet, so he's got a bakery in Cambridge in the UK, sells healthy cakes on the internet. His real movement is not selling cakes on the internet, that's part of it, but his real movement is this massive, colossal battle against sugar. And to change people's relationship with sugar to have the knock-on effect that that needs to have on heart disease and diabetes and all this other stuff. The movement that he's on is that. Now, if you think back to like your shoe company, or like one, a great one for me is shirts, right? So the company where Kennedy and I often buy shirts from, because when one of us finds something excellent, we tell the other one and then the other one goes there as well, right? So the company that we often buy shirts from, they make lovely shirts. They sell them on the internet and in their shops, high street shops in the UK. It's great. The problem is I don't want to buy a shirt every day. Well, I'd love to buy a shirt every day, but I'm not going to. In the same way that you probably wouldn't buy shoes every day. But those people are going to show up every day, like you said, with, do you want to buy these shoes? Here's some more shoes. We're doing a discount. It's Black Friday. But actually their movement isn't to sell shoes. The movement they're creating is for the shirt company is to allow men to dress well, feel good, feel confident, get the job that they're going for, or nail it on that first date, like the stuff that the shirt does, right? The stuff the shirt brings with it. And so really what we want email marketing to be about is not, do you want to buy this stuff? It's, here's a resource. We can be a resource to you to help you achieve more in this kind of movement that we're all creating, to join us in this big movement forward. And as a side note, as a byproduct of that, we're going to mention our shirts, our shoes, our cakes, our whatever. And when it's time for you, we'll always just be like a couple of clicks away in your inbox. You'll be able to get to us really quickly. But the emails themselves will be enjoyable and beneficial and useful. So if you think for a moment about like a company that sells shirts and they email once a week or twice a week and they say, here's the latest offers on shirts, versus a shirt company who shows up every day as a men's fashion resource and the shirts are a byproduct of that. How can you wear the same 6 shirts every week, but never feel like your colleagues think you're just wearing the same shirts every week? How can you dress them up differently? That's a really valuable resource that also sells shirts versus somebody who just turns up and sells shirts. So the clients that this works for really well is any business on earth, but I'm going to narrow that down by saying, provided they're willing to think outside the context of it just being a little brochure emailed through somebody's inbox every week or whatever. It's got to be somebody who's like, I've got a mission behind why I'm selling shirts, behind why we're doing this, behind, you know, and in the healthcare profession specifically, this is going to work better than probably anywhere else. But that's kind of the kind of clients it makes sense for, as long as you can get them into that mindset. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because really you're saying like, well, what is the benefit? The benefit of joining the list is because of the benefit of the product or the service or whatever for the consumer. Not as like business owners, we always want to think about like, this is what I offer. It's this and this and this and this. And they don't care about the service, right, the product. They want to know the benefit for them. What are they going to get out of it?
And to really briefly, I promise, briefly put it into context, our thing with email marketing is, sure, people join our list to learn email marketing, but actually what we're going to deliver to them down the road is anything that is like just generic stuff that helps the small business. Like, so we tell stories and talk about the things that are relevant to small business owners, because that's who our audience are. So things like, you're suddenly thrust into a world where everybody's working from home. And every time you fire up a Zoom call, in fact, it happened to us here. When you fire up a Zoom call, the door goes and the Amazon delivery man turns up and you've got to rush off and solve it, right? That happens. You get to the end of the year and the accountant tells you you've got a tax bill that's bigger than the one you thought you were going to have. And suddenly you haven't saved for it. That happens to us. You've got, you know, everything like, how do you stay productive at home when you've got a partner and kids and animals and all that stuff running around the place? How do you do that? Kennedy had his whole house decorated in the last week. How do you continue to run a business where you've got a little home studio and stuff set up and you've also got a man in the background painting the wall? These are the things that affect our audience, but they've got nothing to do with email marketing, but they're us providing fun, entertaining, interesting, scary, anxiety provoking, whatever stuff that ultimately helps us in our mission of not only helping sell more stuff with email, but also to have fun doing it and to build a better business whilst doing it and to become better versions of them while they're doing it and all that jazz. So that's kind of how that applies to our business.
What we're going to do as well, like, is we're going to serve what we call the emotional needs of the audience. So if you get a client who, whether this is to write your blog post for your clients or it's for writing emails for your clients, we'll get into specific things around writing emails for clients in a bit, I'm sure. But you want to look after the emotional needs of their audience. So if we know that our audience care about how do you get that life, working from home, life balance, business, work-life balance thing going, how do you do that? That's one of the emotional needs we can serve in our content. What does your client's audience need to understand? And I want to give you another framework before I get into talking about this speed, this idea of a funnel and stuff like that as well. Here, this will really help, because a lot of the time when you're learning to write any kind of copy, any kind of writing at all, we often talk about the difference between features and the benefits, right? The feature is the thing, the benefits is kind of what it's going to do for them. But if we want to take that to another level, so what we call the Robin Kennedy level, right, which is like this advanced psychological thing. And what you'll notice is the nuance in making something advanced and practical is about simplifying it. And that's what's really difficult. You know what it's like in medicine, the most simple solution probably took the longest to develop, because anybody can develop an over-engineered solution where you have to have one of them and three of them a day and you hang upside down for 3 weeks and then you'll have a hangover cure. It'll be great. You know, anybody can develop an over-engineered solution. Simplicity is the difficulty, right? So here's a framework for you. We're going to give you loads of frameworks today. And this is one of them. And that is to go beyond just features and benefits. So this is it. We call it FABT, F-A-B-T, right? We're British, so it's a fab cup of tea. FABT, right? So that's how we remember it. Just imagine Rob and I with a lovely cup of tea. Happy days. So the F is features. That's the feature. This is the thing. Great. The next bit is A, the advantage. What is the distinct advantage this gives people? Then the B is the benefits. The problem many people have when they're writing copy is they often don't get to a benefit. They're actually writing advantages. So to force us to make our benefits stronger, we put the advantages down first. So we write the features, then the advantages. And now we go, now what's the benefit of that? Now you actually are writing benefits. Then, and here's when it gets really advanced, is we describe the transformation. Features, advantages, benefits, transformation. Transformation.
I say, share everything about you guys. Like, where can everybody find you? Your social links, all that. So we can definitely share it over on the podcast as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, we have our podcast, of course, the Email Marketing Show. Just go to wherever you get your podcast from. It's on everything. Search for the Email Marketing Show. It's an episode every Wednesday where it's us and sometimes a guest talking about fun, crazy things to do with email marketing. So that's really cool. We also have our free Facebook group, the Email Marketing Show Community. You can just go to Facebook, search for the Email Marketing Show Community. I think it's like more than 3,000 people in there now, all chatting about email marketing on a daily basis and that kind of thing. That's awesome. Yeah, 3,500 members. I think that's everything.
Awesome. I'm asking if they got some value. Yes. Thanks for all the info. Thank you over at Facebook. And then Lexus says, thanks so much. This is amazing. Super valuable. So I think everyone liked it, guys.
Awesome. Good.
So thank you again. We'll talk soon. I will definitely let you guys know when this goes live. Like I said, I'm probably going to break it up a little bit to make it some value tips for everybody, get you guys some more listeners, and definitely drive more people to your Facebook group and your email list. So thank you again.
Thanks, James.
You're welcome. Keep in touch. We'll talk soon. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
That's a wrap for today's episode of The Savvy Scribe. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed today's show, we'd love for you to subscribe and leave a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Until next time.
Again, thank you for listening. If you're ready to explore freelance writing as your next PRN job or even full-time, I invite you to check out our Savvy Nurse Writer community on Facebook and visit SavvyNurseWriter.com to help you get started today.